Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer and I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon, and we pray that you are encouraged, challenged, and ultimately that you are drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good morning. It's good to be together, and we are going to bring to a close this morning our series on Advent. And as we do, I want to ask you if you've ever heard the phrase, hashtag blessed. I'm sure many people have. If you're not familiar, it's simply something that is so often tossed around in our culture today. And if you don't know that, it's just simply someone expressing thankfulness for blessing of something that might have happened within their life. Go on social media and you'll see a variety of reasons, or talk to someone and you'll hear a variety of reasons as to why they feel hashtag blessed. Being with friends or family, you'll see pictures, hashtag blessed. Getting a close parking spot when the mall is packed, hashtag blessed. Winning the city championship in sports, hashtag blessed. Getting that lead role in the school production, hashtag blessed. Hiking or biking, as we so often see in the mountains and the beautiful place we are, hashtag blessed. A vacation on the beach, hashtag blessed. No snow or a snow day, hashtag blessed. Goes both ways. Healthy bodies, financial status, hashtag blessed. The person in front of you buying your coffee for you, oh, hashtag blessed. You get the picture. So many different reasons why people feel blessed. Well, when the angel Gabriel announced to Mary that she was pregnant with Jesus, he said to her, Mary, you are hashtag blessed. He said, Mary, you are blessed and you are highly favored among women. And now Mary's a great example of what it means to be blessed, but it certainly doesn't look the way that most of us might anticipate. So what is blessing then? This morning, we're going to focus on the advent or the arrival of blessing. And we're going to understand and explore this question. What does it mean to experience God's blessing in my life? And maybe more specifically, what is the cause and the effect of God's blessing? And so our text for today, and if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there. Luke chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 46 through 55. And this text is a song of praise that Mary sings in response to God when she finds out that she is to give birth to the baby Jesus. It's often referred to as the Magnificat. And in Mary's song, we understand, again, what this true cause and effect of God's blessing is. So let's read together in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Mary's often depicted and pictured as this passive and docile, maybe unassertive person. But I want to suggest to you this morning that Mary's actually quite bold and audacious in this song that she sings. Imagine this young peasant girl, scandalously pregnant, sharing a story that likely no one believes, living on the outskirts of society, boldly declaring without shame or apology that she is blessed, that she is favored by God. This is not the song of the timid, but this is a song of a strong young woman who knows who God is and boldly declares it. And from the words that Mary sings, we can tell that she knew Scripture. She knew God's word, and it was on her heart. In fact, the Magnificat, which we just read, either quotes or alludes from verses from Genesis, Deuteronomy, 1 and 2 Samuel, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Micah, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. Mary knows God's word, and this knowledge is shown within her song. Mary focuses on what she knows to be true about God. And in doing so, we learn about the cause and the effect of God's blessing. So the first cause that I want us to understand today about blessing is this. Blessing is found in the fulfillment of God's promises. Just like you and me, Mary is a sinner, and she's in need of a savior, a rescuer, a hero. But instead of complaining to God about what's happening in her life or the current circumstances, she starts by declaring who God is and the promises that he has made. And she outlines the narrative of creation, fall, and redemption. In her song, Mary recalls promises that God has made up to 2,000 years ago, and she speaks to their fulfillment in the person of Jesus. She's declaring that the coming Christ was the fulfillment of a promise that was made to Abraham, a promise to use one of his descendants to bless all of the nations. And Mary speaks to the Messiah, the rescuer, and the Redeemer that Israel was waiting to save them from their distress. Mary's reference looks for the fulfillment of a nation's hope in the person of Jesus. She's declaring that this baby will rescue Israel from sin and death and usher in this everlasting kingdom. In Christ, in the person of Jesus, God was fulfilling a promise that he gave to Abraham and his descendants years before to bless him and to make him a blessing to all nations of the earth. God's blessing is the fulfillment of the promise that he will free his people from the curse of sin and death that they have been under. The work will be completed through Jesus. In short, all promises of God find their yes in him. This drawing that I want to show you this morning, it's called Mary Consoles Eve. And it's by someone, her name is Sister Grace Remington. And I believe she illustrates so well the promise that Mary refers to. More so, this image is significant to me because I see myself in the narrative of blessing through God's fulfilled promises when I see this. Maybe you can too. See, I'm in a lot of ways constantly cataloging my own sins and trying to fix them with a checklist or a set of rules or a to-do list that will hopefully in some way be able to pull those deep roots of sin out of my life. But when I look at Eve, I see that oh so terribly familiar, what have I done posture. I see that exhaustion in our body and I see those weighed down shoulders. Her shoulders are low, her head is bent. She can't look up. And I think this is often how I am or how we so often are when shame rules in our life. Shame tells us that you are unworthy. I am unworthy. I don't belong. And when I feel this way, I so often, as Eve does, I want to hold on to my sin. I want to hold on to that apple, and I think it's for that reason that I think that I want to hold on to it because maybe I can fix this. I'll get it together. I'll do better. I'll earn the love of God in others. But the message that's communicated in this drawing, and more so God's word to us, is that I can exchange my brokenness for an abundant life. I don't need to live holding on to my shame. I can let go of it and take hold of the person of Jesus, who offers forgiveness and restoration. Mary knows something else, I believe, as pictured in this drawing. Contrary to the popular song, I believe Mary did know. She knows that Eve has sinned, that she's filled with brokenness, that she's filled with shame. But there's no look of worry, fear, or panic on Mary's face. Eve may be filled with shame, but Mary knows that redemption is coming. Mary knows that everything will be renewed, that everything will be made right. My soul magnifies the Lord, she sings. Redemption is here and is available to each and every one of us. And while Eve can't bring herself to make a move towards her own freedom, Mary takes Eve's hand for her. And while Eve's body is heavy with that shame, Mary doesn't force her to give up anything. She just invites her to place her hand on what is new. God loves us because we are his children, and he shares that redeeming love with us in the person of Jesus Christ. The advent of blessing is God fulfilling his promises to us. The second cause for blessing is this: it's rooted in God's presence with us. This song of rejoicing, we can all know and very much picture, it's not coming from ideal circumstances. It's not coming from material blessing that Mary is feeling or experiencing, but rather it comes from this intimate knowledge that Mary has, this knowledge that God has paid attention to her. God was mindful of Mary. In Mary's song, we see that God, the God that we worship, is a personal God. And by this, I mean he's a God that pays attention to you. He's a God that knows you intimately. A God that knows everything about you. He knows everything you've done and the things that have ever been done to you. And in all of this, he loves you. And this is one of the reasons I believe that Mary sings so magnificently. God knew who she was. He noticed her. A poor peasant woman from Nazareth, not considered to be important by anybody, possibly her family. But God was mindful of her. God had hand-selected her to be the mother of Jesus. Mary experienced the personal nature of God, and Mary had come to realize that God's gaze was upon her. The same God that created the universe, that was saving humankind from the baby that was growing inside of her, knew her by name, cared for her, and favored her. The good news is that also God is not distant. He is not disengaged. He's not just a cosmic force that set everything in motion and then chose to sit back and just choose to see and watch what would happen. But he is a father that is near to us, that is near to his children. Blessing is found in the truth that the God of the cosmos made his dwelling among us. Blessing is the truth that the God of the cosmos made his dwelling among us. You may feel as though God is not concerned with your needs, that he's unaware of your hurts, of your desires, that he must be far too concerned with running the universe to pay attention to you. But let me remind you today of what Mary made known in her song, that the God that we worship is not distant. He is not removed from our life. He dwells among us. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and his gaze is upon you. Debbie Thomas, another writer, reflects well on this when she says, "I love that Mary finds the gaze of God not just bearable, but wonderful. Mary doesn't simply tolerate God's eyes, she basks in them. God's gaze accepts Mary's poverty, her simplicity, her lack of sophistication and education, and favors her anyways, completely and exactly for who she is and what she is." I fear that many of us never allow ourselves to lean into God's delight in this way. We never dare to entertain the possibility that God looks on us with favor, or that God's gaze lingers on us in love. What would it look like to do that? Let me ask you, do you ever imagine God looking at you, regarding you, gazing at you? If yes, how would you characterize that gaze? Would it be cold, distracted, judgmental? Or is it a gaze that is patient and tender and warm and inviting? There is joy in the truth that the advent of blessing is revealed in God's intimacy with us. So what's the effect of God's blessing? I want to show you one more picture, and this one depicts Mary quite differently than the first drawing. In this drawing, you see Mary pumping her fist in victory as she crushes the skull of Satan. A little bit different of a picture of Mary than we're used to seeing. But this illustration of Mary lines up with what Dietrich Bonhoeffer sees as how Mary sings this song, the Magnificat. He says this: "This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary whom we sometimes see in paintings. This is the passionate, surrendered, proud, enthusiastic Mary who speaks out. This song has none of the sweet, nostalgic, or even playful tones of some of our favorite Christmas carols. It is instead a hard, strong song about collapsing thrones and humbled lords of this world, about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind." You see, in this song, Mary's song truly is an anthem of hope and justice, where the hungry are fed and the rich are sent away. In short, Mary describes a world reordered and renewed, a world that's characterized by love and justice, that only the baby that she carries within her womb can bring into being. In short, Mary is describing a brand new world order. God's blessing is establishing a new reality in which the humble are exalted and the proud are humbled. And so I want to break that down a little bit. And when it comes to the proud, we often think of the wealthy or the powerful. But what defines the proud most often, and I think in the best way, is actually their pride. See, pride is our greatest adversary when it comes to experiencing God's blessing. And this is because pride creates within us a desire to elevate ourselves above God. This is what defines the proud, who are referred to in our text. The proud are those who have stopped pursuing the Lord because they find themselves being full and satisfied apart from him. The proud are those that stop pursuing him, who rely on their own resources and fail to recognize that their ultimate dependency is upon God. And in this sense, I think we are all proud. needing to be made low. Many of us find fulfillment of our needs everywhere apart from Jesus. And so we stop pursuing after him. But only when we recognize our dependency can we live like Mary, opening ourselves to hear the call from God. Humbleness, on the other side, or the other end, is seeing yourself rightly in light of who God is. Humbleness is seeing yourself rightly in light of who God is. It's understanding where we fall short and God does not. Receiving God's blessing requires us to be humble, to focus on God and not ourselves. Mary sees herself as guilty, as unworthy, as empty, and as weak, in need of mercy, help, and strength from God. Just like you and me, Mary is a sinner who's in need of a Savior. And Jesus would later say, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." See, God takes pleasure in our efforts to humble ourselves. He loves to bless and to exalt the humble. John Chrysostom remarks this. He says, "Truly, humility is our greatest friend. It increases our hunger for God's word and opens our heart to his Spirit. It leads to intimacy with God, who knows the proud from afar, but dwells with him who is of contrite and lowly spirit." These are the people that God loves to use because they are dependent upon him and his power is seen through them. Humility reveals God's glory and blessing. One thing that's very clear about the great reversal, this great reversal is what is referred to as the humble being raised up and the proud being brought low. The great reversal is often how we refer to that. And the great reversal is the work of God, the God who acts to set things right, to bring healing and liberation in this world and the next. It's not something that we can accomplish on our own. In God's great reversal, we see that blessing has everything to do with God. It has nothing to do with our own personal worthiness, but to see the effect of God's blessing, we need to humble ourselves and let his power work through us. This is how God's kingdom will come. We are all poor. We are all in need of a Savior. None of us are qualified, but all are lowly, in need of God's mercy. Blessing is not about your circumstances. It's not about your possessions. It's not about your status, your gifting, your position, your personal worthiness. It is about God fulfilling his promises, his presence with us, and a new reality in which the humble are exalted and the proud are humbled. This is what it means to be hashtag blessed. We have the opportunity to now hear a testimony of this really playing out in someone's life from our church. And it's a testimony that's going to be followed by a step of baptism that this person is taking. And I want you to listen as you listen to hear about God's blessing, the promises fulfilled to this man, God's presence with him, and how when he humbled himself, God really exalted him. For those that are watching online, we do need to pause our live stream for security reasons, just for this individual. And so we ask you, if you're online, to stay with us. And when this portion is done, the live stream will resume.